Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is Well, Well, Well. G'day and welcome. Tex and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. We've just listened to Help Me Make It by Huff and Puff. Huff and Puff. Jason, how are you tonight?
I'm feeling much, much better than last week. I'm getting over my cold and feeling ripe and ready to get on the road.
Ripe and ready.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, blimey. Goodness. Watch out, world.
Watch out, world, indeed. But, of course, what are we going to be talking about? We're not going to be talking about how I'm feeling, are we?
No. Generally not tonight, Jason.
Not all about me, unfortunately.
No, not tonight.
What's going on?
Well, tonight we're going to be chatting with David about a topic that we received in an email on last week's show. So we'll be discussing that sometime after about 8:15.
What was the question?
Oh, I'm going to save that for 8:15. I want to keep people in a state of anticipation, panting, thinking about Rocky Horror Picture Show. We also have some snippets of news, which we'll be getting to quite soon, and then we're going to be chatting about some events happening around town later. Oh, and happy International Bisexual Day to all our bisexual listeners.
I didn't even know it was International.
Well, I found out via Facebook that today is International Bisexual Day. It was just a comment. It wasn't a message sent to me.
It was a status update, was it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Mm. I don't know. What's that mean?
Oh, Tex.
Oh, does that mean when someone writes something in, that means their status has been updated?
Your Facebook status, like Jason Aslan, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no. Probably not then. No. Or possibly, I don't know. But anyway, Jason, we love to hear from our listener. How can they get in contact with us?
Give us a ring on 1-300-JOY-949 and talk to the lovely Gordon. Or email us directly in studio at onair@joy.org.au or send an SMS to 0427-JOY-949.
Few tongue twisters there.
Just a few. I don't know what's happening to me, but...
We'll be right.
Hi, I'm Sullivan Stapleton from the film Animal Kingdom, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
We've got some snippets, and this is where we shuffle the papers around a bit, and that's it, to make it sound terribly news desk. And the first one comes from the United Press International, something which got through on an email this week, and it's about HIV being a threat to those aged over 50 and older. Comes out of New York State in the United States of America, and it's just a general health warning that says older adults should take precautions to protect themselves against HIV/AIDS. And it's, as I said, it's out of New York. It's actually from the New York State Health Commissioner. And he was noting that HIV is not just a disease of the young. He goes on to say that there's a misperception out there amongst some people that people aged 50 and older don't get infected with HIV, that, you know, it's just something that younger people have to worry about. But the data in New York State clearly shows that being 50 or 60 years of age doesn't protect you from acquiring HIV.
And the same applies here, obviously, as well.
Of course, yes.
The epidata... or the amount of notifications that we see among individuals age 35 and above, I think supports that the claim is valid here as well. But I like the idea that there's this misconception that it's not something that only affects the young.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this misconception possibly among the younger people that it's something that only affects the older people,
yeah, which comes out a lot in research that younger people seem to think, oh well, it's just an old gay fella's disease, and at the same time we have older people, although being over 50, I don't like to use that older people label, but older people tend to think that it's just something that youngsters have to worry about. Also, in the heterosexual community, women and men who don't seem to worry too much about HIV and other sexually transmitted infections, well, it's, you know, sorry, it is something you need to worry about. And if, as more people, older and younger, are getting out and rubbing uglies together, it's probably a good idea that they consider sexual health testing, as we constantly rabbit on about, but is really important message to get out to people. Regular sexual health testing is a brilliant idea for looking after yourself, but also for looking after the person that you're having sex with. And as we've said on many occasions, if you're having lots of sex, have a sexual health test every 3 months. Having sex every now and then, test every 6 months, but at least have a test every 12 months.
I recommend having a test at least every 12 months.
Right, well, have a test, because I can assure you that Tex has a test every 12 months, even though he's in a monogamous relationship. Isn't that good of him?
Very good, Tex. Mm. But keeping on the issue of sexual health, but maybe a little bit more local, the next headline is about how Aussies are ill-informed about sexual health. Shock and all.
Yeah. It's a report for about a poll which was conducted, or a survey, if you like, that has shown that young Australians are often ill-informed on sexual health, and how being drunk or horny can be an excuse for not using protection. Protection, of course, meaning in most instances a condom and water-based lube. It was a survey of 1,000 Australians aged between 18 to 25, and it found that 63% had had unprotected sex, and almost the same number, well, actually it was 65%, slightly more, said they'd never been tested for sexually transmitted infections.
I like that it also found that roughly 40% of them also reported having some symptoms, which can be caused by some of the STIs.
Well, it's interesting. It's because they must have written down what those symptoms were, because it lists itching, tingling or redness in their genital area. And that only 20% of people had actually sought medical advice for these symptoms. So most people had just let them itch. Itch and be red and tingle, and not really do anything about it. Doesn't say a great deal about sexual health education if that sexual health education isn't talking to people about sexually transmitted infections, then it's next to useless, because it's really important that people understand that using a condom all the time is going to protect people, especially in relation to HIV. Not necessarily against all sexually transmitted infections, even, for example, like genital herpes. Herpes around the genital area. It doesn't. A condom doesn't eliminate the risk of contracting a sexually transmitted infection like genital herpes, which is why, once again, we constantly bang on about the importance of sexual health testing as being really important for young people and for all people. So it doesn't matter if you're over 50 or under 50, regular sexual health testing, if you're having casual or anonymous sex, wherever that may happen to be. And moving on, Jason, some really great news out of Melbourne. What's it all about?
Well, scientists have been kind of everywhere in the media this week, revealing an HIV cell mystery. Professor Sharon Lewin from Burnett Institute's Center for Virology said researchers had worked out how HIV entered a group of cells in which the virus tends to persist, even when someone's receiving treatment that reduces the virus to undetectable levels. Mm. So essentially what we know is that many people go on to treatment.
Yep.
And it's quite effective at bringing the amount of virus that's in their plasma down, or in their blood, down to the levels below what's detectable by the diagnostic tests. But we know that people remain infected due to reservoirs in resting cells. Mm. So Dr. Lewin says that these resting cells obviously had been a significant barrier in the search for a cure, because the virus seems to hide in them and reignites when people stop the treatment.
Really important stuff to acknowledge that, you know, when the level of HIV goes down, HIV does pop out or reappear, if you like. I like the term that she's used, resting cells, that the virus is actually resting within the cells. It's not actually doing a thing. It's not making things bad for people. But when the treatment stops, then HIV enters from these resting cells and starts the process up again.
The resting cells essentially act as reservoirs, if you will, of the HIV virus, which then can be activated and kind of spark viral replication if the treatment stopped. She said the good thing about this finding is that scientists can now start to find drugs that can block the virus from entering these resting cells, or possibly push the virus out of them.
Yeah.
So, therefore, reducing those reservoirs of HIV-infected immune cells.
Mm. Which is really good news that there's something more for scientists to look at. You know, where the people with, I remember when I first joined the Victorian AIDS Council 21 years ago, I actually asked the question, when will there be a cure for HIV? And I was told within 10 years. Nowadays, when people say, when will there be a cure for HIV, we scientists sometimes say, perhaps within 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I think the search went from looking for a cure, getting rid of the virus from people that are infected, then looking at vaccine research, which hasn't necessarily been all that successful, to now going back to looking at what they're calling eradication. So essentially seeing how they can get treatment to be successful to undetectable levels, but also getting rid of those reservoirs of resting HIV-infected cells.
Yep, so. Look, this is going to be a continuing story, and perhaps we may be able to get someone from the Burnett Centre on the show sometime in the near future to actually flesh this out a bit more and explain it to us so that we can help you, our listener, to understand this just a little bit more.
The GLBTI community know a thing or two about discrimination.
Discrimination does not discriminate. It affects other communities in Australia.
ANTAR, Australians for Native Title and Reconciliation, is working to remove discrimination that currently exists under the federal government's Northern Territory intervention. For more info and ways you can help, visit antar.org.au.
Learn the ins and outs of radio broadcasting with Joy 94.9's A Taste of Radio course. You'll learn on-air presentation, media law, digital editing, interviewing, panel operation, and more. The next course starts on Tuesday, September 28th, with classes running one evening a week for 8 weeks. To register your interest or for more information, email courses@joy.org.au.
Hi, this is François Sagat.
Et vous écoutez Joy sur 94.9.
And that was Yakety Yak by the Coasters, one of my favourites, because we do a lot of yakety yakking here on Joy, especially on Well, Well, Well. Tonight we have a special guest in the studio, and we're going to be talking about a topic quite soon, which we had a request. We had a question last week, and we will be coming on to that very soon. But first of all, I'd like to introduce David. Welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Well, thank you, Tex. Nice to be here.
And you're going to tell us about Richard.
Yes, indeed. Richard James of St Kilda, who is well known to many people, particularly those who have been around on the scene for quite some time. Maybe the newer arrivals to Melbourne or the younger people might not know a lot about Richard, but I had the pleasure yesterday of being the MC at the Francis Pennington Awards as part of Housing Week 2010 in Queen's Hall up at Parliament House.
All right, yep.
Richard Wynne was there, and there were a number of people who were recognised, but there were three commendations, and one was for Richard James, and for more than 20 years, Richard has been a passionate and an active volunteer. But one of the things that was particularly interesting about it was in regards to his rights for older people and more broadly, the health and housing equity opportunities for older gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice that State Parliament recognised that and the work that he's doing. And I think that this is something that the gay media should be acknowledging him for.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be a chance for the gay media to pick it up now.
They have all been informed.
Yep, maybe I'm informing them again.
Yes.
and directing them to the podcast of this show, perhaps.
Yes. Well, of course, they could do it next week, but this week is Housing Week, so this would really have been the week to have done it.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you said Richard's known to be older people. I was almost expecting you to say like us, Tex.
Well, no, because I've actually only been in Melbourne for 15 years. So even though I look as if I've been round the block many times, I'm not really an old Melbournean, although I did manage the Laird for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And of course, having been in that sort of position, people think, oh, he's been around for years.
Donkey's years.
Yes. Oh, I don't mind donkeys.
That's what they say to me. But David, look, we've asked you in tonight in response to a question that we received on last week's show.
And from Antoine, if that was his name.
That's yes, right, indeed. Yes, Antoine. Yes. The question asked if we, and it was directed at Jason and myself, had any experiences in fisting. And if so, is fisting safe? Now, not being a person who's engaged in fisting myself, I couldn't answer the question, which is why it's great to have you here. Because whilst you're here tonight as yourself, you also belong to a group of like-minded guys. What's the name of the group?
Well, yes, I'm involved in a group called Mega Fist. Well, actually, the primary group used to be called Melbourne Dirty Bad Boys, mm-hmm. and we used to run a series of parties. And through an involvement with Club 80 and the late Jeff Arnold, he suggested that we could do something on a fairly regular basis downstairs. So Mega Fist came into effect.
Okay. Now, I think to start off with, we should explain what fisting involves. I mean, it's a sexual activity. What is fisting for the uninitiated who may be listening?
Well, fisting involves putting the hand, either as a hand or as a fist, inside someone's anus or in a vagina. Mm-hmm. It's not strictly just totally a gay thing. In fact, if you do a bit of Googling and do some searching on the internet, there are far more sites for hetero fisting than there are for gay fisting.
Which sort of makes sense because if you go with that Johnson and was it Johnson and Johnson who did the not Johnson Johnson they make toothpaste,
baby powder,
yes indeed,
and baby oil,
which Kinsey? Can be handy.
Was it Kinsey?
Kinsey indeed, Kinsey, who said that the gay community are 10% of the population. Well, if and you know that's a very questionable figure, of course, but if that is the case, then it would mean that of the sites on the internet relating to fisting for the gay community would mean that there was there would be 9 for every one.
Yes, is that right? Exactly.
Is that the way it works?
And that's not even taking into account the bisexuals.
No, indeed.
Because we do have a number of married guys and bisexual guys who come along to our parties.
This group that you belong to, Mega Fist, is it just a collection of like-minded guys or does it operate as a club? You know, and clubs often have presidents and treasurers and all that sort of thing. Is it more a looser?
Yes, it's a very informal structure. I mean, there's a core of, I guess, guys who sort of started the group, mm-hmm. But there's no president, no meetings, no committees. It's just come along and give us a hand, so to speak. Well, I mean, when I say give us a hand,
cheeky.
I mean our parties we need to sort of set up and put yep. slings up and do things like that. So
and provide equipment and cleaning materials.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Yep.
And sending emails to Tex McKenzie saying, Tex, we're out of gloves again.
Yes, could we have some more?
Yes.
Yeah.
And which you kindly do, and we appreciate that very much.
You mentioned that, in particular about the websites, how there's a plethora of websites for the heterosexual community and possibly 10%, if we follow that Kinsey rule, for the gay community. But do you know the history of fisting? Like, is it an activity that's, you know, very much a modern now thing, or is it an activity which has been engaged, if you like, through the ages?
Oh, well, I think it's actually been around for a long time. In the Sistine Chapel with Michelangelo's panels,
yeah.
One of the panels on the far right, which I believe some early priests tried to damage and hang drapes over, has an illustration of the devil with his hand up a guy's backside. So it's obviously been
so it would lead you to believe that it's an activity which people have been enjoying, but maybe seen as by part of the population maybe seen as a fearful activity, especially if the devil's going to be getting at you for some time.
Yeah, it's actually often referred to as the ancient erotic art of fisting, mm-hmm. Or it can be called brachiocoptic erotica.
Right.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
It is a bit of a mouthful.
Now, you mentioned that this is an activity that heterosexuals engage in, it doesn't always just involve the insertion of a hand into an anus. It can also mean a hand or a fist into a vagina. So
yes.
It's something which one would imagine that lesbians also derive some pleasure from.
Exactly. And there are situations I've heard of with some of my bisexual friends that mm-hmm. they can actually insert a hand in their female partner, one in the anus and one in the vagina at the same time.
Good Lord.
That would get your heart racing.
That is a mental picture.
Yes.
Finished dinner?
David, I wanted to ask you about the pleasure principle in this. I mean, obviously, this is something that people do because it's pleasurable. Is it pleasurable for both the person who is being fisted, or like the fistee, as well as the person who's actually inserting the hand?
If we're talking about people who are very accomplished and know what they're doing, mm-hmm. I mean, for an example, I have quite a large hand. So if I'm playing with a novice and I'm doing some training, it can actually be a little bit hard work and I can find that my hand can get cramped. But if I'm playing with an experienced bottom and the energy flow is really good, it's pleasurable for both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can imagine that every nerve that goes down your spinal cord gets down to about the base and it splits and goes down each leg. So when you're working in that part of the body, you're almost touching every nerve in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the body tends to have what we call body orgasms rather than the ejaculatory type mm-hmm. orgasm.
Now, you mentioned the whole thing of you know, working with novices versus people that are quite advanced. How is this something, like, I'm assuming being a part of a group like Megafist would be a good place to start training? How does one kind of start to dabble?
Well, it can be a good place to training, but of course, for the arse, if we can call it the arse, yeah. for the yeah. arse to be relaxed, the mind has also got to be relaxed. So people need to be in an area that they're comfortable and relaxed in. And sometimes a full-on party scene is not...
Might be a bit overwhelming.
However, it is a good place to come along and see what happens and talk to like-minded guys. And often they will arrange if they'd like something a little more private. We organise that as well.
I was interested there. I was, just as soon as you said that, I thought the mind has to be relaxed, like the anus needs to be relaxed. What about recreational drugs? Is a recreational drug something which help people be more accepting of this, or like of a fist being inserted, or is a recreational drugs not so much a good idea?
Well, I don't like to say that I'm a goody two shoes. Mm-hmm. However, yes, we do hear about people taking recreational drugs of various kinds, and sure, it can help them relax. Some people also find a glass of scotch or a beer or red wine mm-hmm. will also help them relax. However, there's also a bit of a theory that if you can't take a fist or a hand without drugs, mm-hmm. then you can't really take a fist. But if you spoke to a surgeon who was involved in that sort of area, he would tell you that if you put someone on an operating table and give them a general anaesthetic, you could almost back a truck up there.
Right.
So, yeah, it is capable of stretching to enormous proportions. However, the mind generally says you need to keep that down there closed and watertight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of, it's more of a mind thing than an ass thing.
Le Rez is a Melbourne male choir specialising in pop arrangements and is open for tenors, baritones and basses. For more details on how to get involved, visit lowresmelbourne.com. That's LOWREZ melbourne.com.
The 2010 Piggy Bank Appeal is on again the 3rd to the 26th of September. The aim is to raise over $1 million so families of children with life-threatening illnesses can access the support they need from very special kids. For more information, go to vsk.org.au.
Wayward Women Walkers are a lesbian walking group for all walkers, campers, cyclers and city strollers, with activities here in Melbourne and weekends away. Keep fit, unwind and meet new friends whilst getting some fresh air. Wayward Women Walkers. Phone 9558-2160 or visit waywardwomenwalkers.org.au for more details.
SMS 0427 Joy 949.
We have as our special guest David, who's from the group Megafist, and we're talking about the ancient art of fisting. Have I got that right?
Yes.
Indeed. Now,
well, of course, in America, they call it handballing.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, yes. And if people are wanting to signal that this is an activity they engage in or they want to show an interest in, a lot of old fellas, perhaps like you and me, David, would be flagging that by wearing a red bandana or a red hanky hanging out of their back pocket.
Indeed. And left back pocket is a top.
So the person who is doing the fisting.
Yes. Right back pocket is the bottom.
The person who accepts the fist.
And around the neck is versatile.
Right.
And if they're wearing a dark red, that means they can take two hands.
Right. So almost the Mack truck. Yeah.
Exactly.
And before we heard those important messages, you actually mentioned about the surgeon who was talking about the anaesthetic, saying that that would relax a person. You could basically drive a Mack truck up there. But there must be safe levels of stretching of an anus. So how does someone know if they're actually doing it safely? I mean, you know, like what are the tips, you know, that people have to take into consideration?
Well... Yes, I mean, as a top, one needs to make sure that their hands are in pristine condition, their nails are filed, they're wearing appropriate gloves. Mm-hmm. And when I say appropriate gloves, I mean they've got to be the right size, but also the right type. There's an enormous selection of gloves out there on the market, but there are very few of those on the market that I would particularly use myself. Some of them are used actually for picking up instruments, so they have texture. Mm-hmm. On the fingers.
Yep.
And of course, you don't want texture on the fingers. You want them to be smooth. Mm-hmm. So the careful selection and the right type of glove and a good fit of glove is also important. Using the right amount of lube is important. Working with the bottom that you're fisting, getting them nice to relax. Not trying to put your whole hand in one go, but starting off with one finger and working it around and getting them nicely relaxed and getting the ass hungry so it actually is crying out for more.
Right. You have very expressive language. I love it.
Get away with words. I'm loving it.
Very much away with words. Just on that topic of safety, is it possible for people to damage internal bits like organs and that sort of thing? As you know, when someone is inserting a fist, is it possible to do damage?
Well, yes, if they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because Antoine, his question was, you know, is fisting safe?
Yep.
But what you talk about damage, and it's interesting. In the last 12 months, I've taken 4 people to the emergency ward, and I've had 3 calls, please come to my house. But in each of these cases, it's been because they've been playing with a huge toy that has broken and left a portion up inside them, which in some cases has required surgery to have it removed. And I hear more of injuries coming from toys than I do from hands. But I'm not saying that I haven't heard instances of people being... and I guess it's a case of people not really knowing what they're doing, going too fast, too far, too rough, not enough lube, not really understanding how the body is reacting or how the bottom is reacting to what they're doing. They're a little bit oblivious to everything. I think sometimes people see videos and think you can go like a bat out of hell, but that's not really the case. So, yes, injuries can happen. And, of course, if you're trying to get a hand that is too big for the opening, pushing it in without understanding that you are possibly doing some damage, you can create a little split, which is a bit like a cut in the corner of the mouth. They're called a fissure. Mm-hmm. And fissures are notoriously bad for trying to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's because they're down there in a damp, moist, warm environment, and the skin doesn't like healing in those sort of areas.
Yep.
So, yes, you can. If you don't know what you're doing and if you're being too rough, you can do a lot of damage. But if you know what you're doing and you're taking things nice and slowly, I often refer it to, it should be a little bit like a safe cracker who's turning the tumblers on a safe, and it should be sort of, as you sort of turn around, you should be looking for little reactions from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, you know, issues with regards to fissures. Should someone who's thinking about engaging in fisting talk to their doctor about it beforehand to make sure that there's no existing conditions that may be, you know,
Well, in an ideal world, that's a good thing to do, but it depends on their relationship with the doctor. And if they don't have the sort of relationship with their doctor saying, hey, I wouldn't mind getting into fisting, then they should be finding a better doctor.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And what about the risk of sexually transmitted infections? And this is for both parties. Are there major risks or are there particular risks?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because when we talk about safe, we're talking about free from harm, injury or risk. There's also the perception of safety. I mean, I know that the other night I was on a train that went through a red light and I felt unsafe. So there can be a perception of safety.
Sure.
But I think often when people talk about safe, they're talking about the risk of HIV and other diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't know of anyone amongst my friends who has actually got HIV from fisting.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my friends who've got HIV, but we can't actually identify it as being caused by fisting. But some of their other practices that they acknowledge weren't all that good. However, I have known of guys, and a number of guys, who've actually got hepatitis C from fisting.
Right.
And then, of course, there's gonorrhea and there's syphilis and there's chlamydia.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really up to the individual to take control of their own safety. Some people, and you also mentioned recreational drugs earlier, I mean, some people with some recreational drugs or alcohol, caution goes out the door.
Yep, yep. Yeah, and they start to try things and do things which, if they weren't under the effects of illicit or recreational drugs and alcohol, they may not do.
Well, yes. I mean, if they've had their drugs and say, oh, I'm ready now, mm-hmm. well, it all goes out the window.
Now, is there a special sort of lubricant that's used? Like, is it mainly water-based lubricant that people use? Or I know there are oil-based lubricants like Crisco.
Well, Crisco is almost the standard, or was mm-hmm. originally the standard for fisting. And that's an oil-based lube.
Yep.
But the advantage of a lube like Crisco is you can actually pick up a dollop mm-hmm. and insert it.
Yep.
Water-based lubes, because they're running, and it's very hard to get the lube inside the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it will squeegee off the hand or yep. off the glove as it's going in. So that's not particularly ideal. But a lot of people these days like to use a combination of an oil-based lube like Crisco, or it might not be necessarily an oil-based lube, but a heavier lube.
Mm-hmm.
There are some silicone lubes that are quite strong. There's Sorbolene, which people may know of, which yep. is a women's face cream. Mm-hmm. You can actually pick up a dollop of that and,
yep.
and use that. And then they will put a slick of a nice water-based lube, like J-Lube, or we actually have our own called Mega Lube, and put a slick of a water-based lube over an oil-based lube, and it works really well.
Now, David, you mentioned before that you have a website.
Yes, indeed,
MegaFist have a website.
MegaFist.com.
Just as simple as that. MegaFist. So MegaFist, MegaFist.com. And that provides information.
Yes, we have one of the drop-downs is some links, and it takes you to a number of other sites, and each of those has information in regards to fisting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a friend of ours in Minnesota called Red Wright, and he's got a lot of tips on it. There's a link to the Chris Ward website, and he has a lot of information ranging from fisting a beginner to how to get two hands in, sort of thing.
David, it's been incredibly interesting having you in tonight to talk about this. It's a very interesting topic, and I hope this has been of some information to Antoine, as well as everybody else who's listening. I'll just mention that website once more, megafist.com, MegaFist, megafist, all one word, .com.
And if I could just say, finally, we actually have a MegaFist party this Saturday night at Club 80, which is a men's only event.
Yep.
You don't need to be gay, you just need to be a man. And it's a good opportunity to come along. There are benches where people can sit down and have a bit of a look or have a chat to other people. It's a very friendly environment, and it's a good opportunity to get to meet other people.
Yeah, I mean, I was meaning to say that I have witnessed the fisting parties. And what I've been most impressed with is that people engaged in fisting might be taking some time out, but they'll sit down and they'll have a chat to the people who are watching, not to encourage them, but actually to speak to people who are actually showing an interest, explaining the process to them. And the one thing I have noticed is that they don't actually get the people to get into it right then and there. They actually say, now have a look, come back at another time, and we can actually see whether this is the activity for you. So it's not a dive straight in. Sorry, excuse the pun.
That's like been the tamest one yet.
We like them to go home and sleep on it and get the grey matter thinking, and that gets the arse a little bit hungry.
And perhaps going to that website, megafist.com, and finding out more information. David, it's been really great having you in. Thank you very much for being our guest tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, and it was nice to be here on a full moon.
Cheers.
Hey guys, Hannah here from Joy's music program, Little Fish. Now, I'm all about helping struggling musicians, but there's plenty of us out there who also struggle and don't sing and dance about it. Luckily, before you bring out the black eyeliner, there's Headspace. Headspace is a place where everyone belongs and you can get the support from people who really understand. If you're aged 12 to 25 and are feeling troubled, depressed, or anxious, then Headspace can help. Headspace are always there to listen and provide the support you need. So turn your amp up to 11 and let them hear you. Visit headspace.org.au. Joy sponsor.
Hi, I'm Kylie Minogue, also known as Kylie from Camberwell, and I'm a proud Joy member, number 285.
We have some snippets of information. Just before we go on with the snippets of information, I just want to thank David one more time for that incredibly interesting discussion about fisting, and to name that website that can give you so much more information, MegaFist, or one word, megafist.com.
And we have received a few messages in so far from the lovely Glenda.
Yes.
Sending a sexy photo of herself.
Oh, goodness, that's lovely, Glenda. No fridge, no bills on the fridge tonight.
So, yes, it is time to give a bit of a roundup on things happening around our community.
Yep. And first off, I thought we'd start with this. We've talked about the Phoenix workshops before, but the question's posed, if you're a gay or bisexual man and you've recently been diagnosed HIV positive, what in heaven's name do you do now? Who do you talk to? Well, Phoenix is a workshop where you can find the answers and get support. It's an opportunity for gay and bisexual men who have been diagnosed HIV positive in the last 2 years or so to learn more about living with HIV. You can meet other recently diagnosed men and share your experiences in a safe and supportive environment, learn strategies for managing, and really importantly, making sense of HIV. You can explore issues around disclosure, negotiating sex and relationships. You can find out how to maintain your sexual health. You can find out about services and agencies and what they can offer you. And really importantly, you can make plans for the future. Confidentiality is ensured, and if you'd like more information or you'd like to book to attend one of the Phoenix workshops, give people living with HIV a call tomorrow, 9865 6772, 9865 6772.
Now, there's another group actually happening. It's not so much a group, but a dinner, really.
A dinner?
Yeah, it's called Opposites Attract, and it's in partnership with the Counselling Services of the Victorian AIDS Council and People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria. And it's a dinner forum for couples in serodiscordant relationships, meaning where one positive is HIV, where one partner is HIV positive and the other is HIV negative. Mm-hmm. And it'll provide an opportunity for participants to learn and to ask any questions about HIV and its impact on their relationship. It'll be held from 7 to 9:30 p.m. on Monday, the 25th of October, at a restaurant in the Melbourne city area. The cost is $20 per person, and there's discounts available for those on a healthcare card. Of course, places are limited, so if you want to register, you can contact John at People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria on 9865-6709. And once again, that's for the Opposites Attract Dinner Forum to be held on the 25th of October from 7 to 9:30 p.m.
Yep, and the latest issue of PosLink, the free magazine for people living with HIV, is available online via the People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria website. Simply the address is pl PLWHA Victoria, all one word, PLWHAVictoria.org.au. Once you get on the site, click on the Living with HIV and you'll be able to see both the current issue and also past issues of PosLink. If you're out in the community or hanging around the Victorian AIDS Council, other agencies, you may be able to pick up a hard copy of it. PosLink, the free magazine for people living with HIV.
And, of course, you know how I like to ramble on about the Melbourne Rovers, Melbourne's gay and lesbian soccer club.
Oh, yeah. Gay and lesbian soccer club.
That little thing that I'm involved with.
Oh, right. Okay, yep.
Yes. Well, the Rovers are getting ready to kick off their summer competition, mm-hmm. which happens every Wednesday night in Faulkner Park, and are looking for men and women to join their summer squad.
Ah, summer squad.
Summer squad.
I'm sure the summer squad would probably enjoy running around in a park late at night much more than the winter squad.
Yes. Well, I'm one of those people that prefers a bit of summer running around rather than winter, wet, rainy, cold running around. Mm-hmm. But it's the summer comp is it's a more of a recreational league. As I said, it happens in Faulkner Park between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. 40-minute games, kind of short and snappy. But really just an opportunity to come out, have a kick around and meet other like-minded individuals.
Now, just out of interest, because you're involved with this group, mm-hmm. Do you play other teams, if you like, or is it just within teams within the club that play?
No, the Wednesday night, the summer comp and the winter comp as well are competitions where we enter with other teams, mm-hmm. Other clubs. So the summer competition, as I said, is more recreational. So the teams that we compete against are quite often other groups of friends that have come together and formed a team, or also quite commonly colleagues from different businesses and organizations putting together a team kind of as part of a bit of a health and well-being initiative from the business. Mm-hmm. The winter competition is by far much more competitive, where you're competing against other kind of soccer clubs around the city of Melbourne. But summer is really where it's at if you just want to have something that's kind of a little bit more relaxed and a bit more about just having fun.
Okay. Thank you,
Jason. So if you're interested in finding out more or registering, you can email melbournerovers@y7mail.com or log on to melbournerovers.sc. That's S for soccer, C for club. .org.au, melbournerovers.sc.org.au.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, World AIDS Day is fast approaching.
Ooh.
The end of the year, Christmas is fast approaching.
I saw my very first Christmas decorations and snacks in shop.
Really?
Yesterday.
Oh, Lord, I saw a shop in advertising itself as a Christmas shop. You know, shop now, because there's not long to go. But World AIDS Day is coming up on the 1st of December, and of course it's a big focus every year, and we will be talking about World AIDS Day as the World AIDS Day is fast approaching here on Well Well Well. But if you're living in rural or regional Victoria and you want to connect with the organisation which deals with HIV and other sexually transmitted infections for people in rural and regional Victoria, you might want to check out the Country Awareness Network. They're based in Bendigo, but they provide information on HIV and other sexually transmitted infections for people in rural and regional Victoria generally. For details, you can visit their website, really easy. I always say this, really easy. CAN, can.org.au. That's C-A-N, can.org.au.
And last but not least,
uh-huh.
you've heard us banter on a bit about a little thing called Queer as Fuck.
Yep.
An online kind of soap opera that's based around Facebook and on YouTube. Well, season one did wrap up over the winter, but season two is coming up very, very soon.
Oh.
So if you haven't already become a fan or had a look at the Facebook page, you can just search for Queer as Fuck, and it's spelled F-X-X-K because it mm-hmm. needs to be all PG. So FXXK, or you can just search for Queer as Fuck on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you can become a fan and follow all of the news. We've got a few teasers that have been posted and like to keep up to date on anything gay related.
Yeah. Now, of course, Jason, we are running out of time. It's near the end of the program, but I do very quickly want to mention that this Saturday night on the Full Catastrophe from 9 till 11, they're going to be doing a grand final show. I know they're not worrying about who the scores are and who's won. What they're doing is they're playing a different song for every team in the league. So that's 15 teams, are they?
Oh, my God, I can't believe I don't know.
I mean, I'm the last person to know anything about football.
Is it 16?
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe it's 16.
Yes.
Well, they're playing 15 or 16 songs anyway.
Yes, it's 16 teams.
Yeah, and that will be this Saturday night. What's it called?
The Full Catastrophe.
Yeah, but it's not called the Full Grand Final Catastrophe?
No.
Oh, well.
Just the Full Catastrophe.
Anyway, there you go. Coming up next.
It is the Full Grand Final Catastrophe.
Oh, thank you, Tex, for being right once again.
Oh, you're always right, Tex.
Not always.
Tex.
Coming up next is Theme Party with Katie, Nat and Daniel, or a mix thereof, followed at 10 p.m. by Hide and Seek with Dean and James. I'd like to say a very quick hello to my partner, Harry. I'd like to say hello to Warren and Deb. Jason, have you got a hello for Gary?
I'll give Gary a hello and a little hello to Elisa and Jill if she's listening.
Right, and I've just been handed the theme for this week's theme party.
And don't
indeed,
keep me waiting.
With Katie, Nat and Daniel. The theme is Blow, B-L-O-W. I'm not going to mention anything because lots of things come to mind. We'll be back next week with another edition of Well, Well, Well. Cheers, everyone. Good night and have a great weekend.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.